Let's just have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father God, I ask that you would take these words as you have taken everything that we have done so far this morning, that you will bless it, that you will help us to understand it, and that you will keep it in our hearts and our souls and our minds. For we ask it in your name. Amen. So congratulations first to Grace and Charlie for bringing and for having such a lovely, beautiful baby boy that was so obedient. And it's lovely to see him. He's done really, really well. So congratulations. And I hope that you and the family and friends and the congregation here will cherish the moments of this morning in what we have done. And they will stay precious within your lives. So you're most probably thinking, as Angela read that reading to you, what on earth has that got to do with anything that we're doing today? And I have to say, I did ask the same question when I felt God leading me to it. How can a book that the name of the author we don't know, how can that book that was written such a long, long time, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, how can that verses at the end of a middle of the book be relevant to any of us, be relevant to me, be relevant to you today of all days? So what I do know about the book, I might not know the author of the book, but I do know that the book was written to a group of people who were asking the question, how can I really know God? How can I really know God? For them, you see, they'd been brought up in tradition and culture that if you're good and you obey the laws and you fulfill your promises and you do everything that you're told to do, you will know God. But their experiences didn't show that. And I guess if I'm honest, there are a lot of us here that might ask the same question. How can I really know God if at all I believe that there is a God? How can I know him for myself? Because I'm not a bad person. I do some silly things. Like I've just realised on my church that I go to, I should have done the flowers for this morning. It just came up on my phone as I switched it off before the service started. So, you know, I don't get everything right. They'll all be sitting in church saying, oh, there's no flowers. Who was on flower duty? Me? I'm in Haverhill. How can we, even though we try so hard to live a good life and to fulfill everything, how can we really know God? Because you see, obedience and actions don't always count. They're important. And that's what the writer here was saying. He was saying that the things that you did out of tradition and culture are important, but they don't solve the problem completely because they don't bring you necessarily close or closer to God. So therefore, they are weak because they don't fulfill to 100%. And then the writer goes on to say that the law is not perfect either. You can obey the law, you can be good, and we could have a debate if you wanted about what laws are important and what aren't, and which ones we choose to follow and which ones we think we can give a bit of wiggle worm to. And we'd be here all night and we'd never agree, would we, as to which laws were important and which ones we have to follow and which ones we can wiggle around a bit. Because the laws are set there for a standard. The laws are there to protect us, aren't they? And to guide us, to protect ourselves. They're not there so that you can have a better relationship with the lawgiver, with your judge that lives down the road. You're not going to have a better relationship with them. And in the same way, the laws that we know of in the Bible and the laws that we follow don't always necessarily mean that we will know God. So the system is flawed. How can we know God? How can I know God? How can you know God? Because I believe that each one of us in this place can know God, can have a living relationship with God. The answer, I think, that we have is in this passage that Angela read, and it's in verse 21. God made a oath. The Lord has sworn it and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. And God made that oath with his son. Now, we've just celebrated Easter, haven't we? And I don't know how many of you had Easter eggs and all the rest that goes with it. I'm sure you all enjoyed it. But Easter is particularly significant in the Christian faith, because Easter is the time that we said the Son of God came and died and rose again, so that we may know him, so that we know that the oath that God has made is permanent and everlasting. So I'm just going to say to you, really, that if you want to know God, if you really want to know God, if you want to know anything about him, if you want to know him in your lives, then he is searching for you. We've already committed Malachi and said, we've made those promises, haven't we? And I'm not going to have a tick list that says, have you still kept those promises? How well are you doing? Because my general feeling is that at some point, somewhere along the way, we'll fail to keep those promises that we've made here in the presence of each other. We'll fail because we're either got tied up and life is overtaken. We'll fail because we don't understand totally what those promises mean. We'll fail because we're confused, and we can go on as to why we don't keep those promises that we've made today 100%. But interesting enough, we had a statement that we made, which was with God's help. Because as humans, we will fail at keeping the promises. We will fail at obeying the laws. I have had speeding fines in my past, and I'm sure there's a few others in this room that have also had that. We will fail because we are human, because we cannot match 100% every day of our lives. But Jesus is our mediator. And because of the sacrifices that he made and the promises that he made, we are able to know God for ourselves, because nothing can break those promises. Nothing. They are permanent, they are steadfast, they are sure, and they are everlasting. So when we look at the reading and we think, what has that got to do with anything? For me, it's got to do everything, because for me, it says to us today, you have made promises to Malachi. You have made promises to each other. But the greatest promise that we have is the promise that God gives us, that we will know him in our lives. And he searches for you, and he waits for you to accept that greatest promise that we will ever know. Amen.